What's up, everyone? Welcome to the huddle, the chillest huddle that's out there. Hope everyone's brought some gloves and is getting comfy, as we will start discussing all things cute JPEGs in a moment. Nothing said in the huddle is financial or any kind of advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. And now, let's go!
GM, and welcome to a new episode of The Huddle. Today, with the one and only Fifi, one of our French Pengus. And Fifi has been a dear OG member of the Apaches and has now become a major builder in the Apache and Abstract ecosystem and beyond. So thank you very much for joining us today, my dearest Fifi. Mille remerciements. And to kick things off, could you please share how you got started with Apache Penguins and your path down the Web3 rabbit hole?
GM, happy to be here. I love the intro music. Like, how did you make it? Was it like the AI or someone?
No, you know the intro music I had made 2021, like for the first huddle.
Oh,
it's like, I know, it's very nostalgic. It's like, yeah, so a real human back then before AI did this intro.
It's amazing. I love it.
Thank you, Fifi.
So yeah, I think it's a long story, but let's just start with the penguin part, and then maybe we can come back in the past. But it was August 21, so that was like, I guess, 3 years and a half ago. Wow, I'm old. the huddle is seems so young, but yeah, 3 years and a half, I guess. And yeah, it was like technically my second NFT collection I got into, and it was really by surprise. You know, like the penguin profile pictures were popping like in Discord, on the Discords I was in. You know, I was not in the penguin Discord. I was not active on Twitter, so it was like really just seeing people I interact with, friends having the picture, and got me. So it's a penguin that got me interested. and I got one because I was like, okay, let's go. You know, it's funny, it's cute. It was not that expensive. It was under one ETH. So that's how it started, you know, and I guess,
Fifi, what was your first PFP then, when Apache was your second one? Out of curiosity.
No, so it was not my... It was my first PFP because I created my Twitter account for the penguin. And I guess in the past, I was using random pictures. My first NFT was the VFriends. I actually minted a few of them, including the one you can see on my PFP, which is the black cat. And so that was in May 21. And yeah, we can talk about this because I think
I missed this completely. Because my first one was Cool Cats, and then my second one was Patchy. Funny enough.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think Cool Cats started like in July, or?
I don't remember, but I know I sold my Cool Cats very quickly, and my Patchy I never sold somehow. So, but how did you, were you in crypto before that, or how did you get onboarded?
Yeah, so I got first interested in crypto, let's say, as a random, you know, person trying to understand Bitcoin in 2016. And I started buying Bitcoin back then. I kind of faded everything else, like when Ethereum, the ICOs and stuff, I was like not into it. It's only like end of 2019, early 2020, when DeFi started to come up, and there is this podcast called Bankless, which started back then, and it really hooked me into the Ethereum world, starting with DeFi. And like since then, I've been only spending more time and time learning and practicing. And I was a bit of skeptic of NFTs. That's why I only started with V Friends, which seemed like from the start like a very, strong project with a successful entrepreneur having a vision, building a brand. I was kind of fading the rest, because yeah, it was not what I was used to. Like I was very DeFi and DAOs also oriented. So the NFT part, the art part, I was really not in that world at all. And I guess yeah, my first step was like, oh, this VFriend thing, it sounds like a an amazing and promising way to use NFTs. Like, I was still thinking use cases, which sounds a bit bullshit when you think about it, but that was the reasoning back then. And I guess it opened a door in my mind, and the Penguin was the second, and I guess the first PFP NFT, because if you look at the VFriend, it's more like collectibles. You can't really use them as PFPs, like characters, like a very complex IP, actually. It's like 200 different characters, so you can't really explain how it, like it's a different thing than the PFP collections, which were more focused around, let's say, one main character, like the Penguin for us. And yeah, that was my journey, like really fast, like really starts with Bitcoin slowly, but from afar, DeFi, DAOs, NFTs.
And Fifi, did you then go for this patchy that you have now as your profile, or was it a different patchy you initially bought?
It was this one, and I think I spent, it felt like hours, but maybe it was like 1 hour looking at all the listed penguins, trying to find the one, because I was gonna play this PFP game. Like I was giving in, like so I really I paid more than the floor for it. I didn't care, maybe you can look at it and think it's like all the traits are common, but for me it was the one that stood out. That's why I like to say, I don't know if you know Harry Potter, but there is this story about, like, it's not the wizard that picks the wand, it's the wand that chooses the wizard. And I feel that's how it happened to me and how it happens with people. It's like when you see a really, what you think is a really cool, cute penguin and you want it, it's also in a way that the penguin chooses you. So yeah, since then I bought another, like a few other penguins. Some like could be seen as rarer, I have a tuft and a wizard, but I mean, this is me, this is my penguin, so I will not change it.
Oh, this is so cute. This is so cute. And Fifi, if I remember correctly, you actually licensed this patchy, right? Like this patchy is now available as plushie toy, no?
No, so I think this, like my PFP is licensed, like for example the TCG, the Vibes game, you will be able to see it. It's been used, like I don't know if you use Brave the browser, but like when there is a Brave ad showing the Brave, it's like a call system, like it shows my penguin. The one that got licensed is like the, what I call it, Fifi, as if you know French, you know what it means. It's like the girly version of Fifi, which is actually another penguin, which I sniped one day when I saw it. I was like, oh my God, it's like Fifi but pink skin and cute eyes. So yeah, that's the one that got licensed. I guess it's coming soon with the new toys. It's gonna be a plushie, but I haven't seen it yet. It's been I mean, I've seen it in the arcade game, like just like yesterday someone posted a video and you could see it in the game. I haven't seen the arcade myself yet, but it's in the arcade game, and it's been in a few videos. Like I remember there was a ETF East ETF ad and it was part of it. The last Walmart video, it was in it, so it's been everywhere, but the toy itself is still in the works.
Gosh, this is so exciting. So what did you think, or what did you feel when you found out that one of your patches got licensed?
I mean, it's impossible to describe, like the fact that it was announced like with the first, like the Overpass IP. It was the first deal, and it was the first time the bot tweeted. And the fact is, I was sleeping when it was announced. So it's only when I woke up that I found my phone with like endless notifications from. I guess I checked Discord first, because I'm less tagged usually in Discord, and that's when I saw that my Penguin was licensed. So then I went ahead to check, and yeah, that was a crazy day. And yeah, it got like everyone being happy for me. It was not just having the Penguin license, it was also like just the people being happy for me that really made it special. Because sometimes you could think like some people could be jealous or just not care, and in that context it was the opposite. It was like a celebration, everyone really rooting for me. So great day, and yeah, that was something. And I can say proudly I'm the first one that got licensed on Overpass.
Oh my gosh, this is so cool. And do your what about your Web2 friends? Do they know you're Fifi in Web3, and do they know your Penguin got licensed, or you have Web3 friends on the one hand and Web2 friends on the other?
I like first of all, I was using Fifi like forever as a nickname in video games, and that's why I had this name on Discord, and I kept it for Twitter. So a lot of my Web2, let's say IRL friends, know that's my nickname, so there was not a big shock of saying I'm Fifi. And yeah, the Penguins actually is the first time I'm really able to share something about Web3 with my friends. Otherwise, we just in good seasons like today, like in bull markets, they will ask, oh, what to buy? Like, I guess people, I mean, it must be the most common thing to do. But otherwise, they don't care. They don't have time for it. They don't understand. It gets complex so fast. But the Penguin is what I can share with them. Actually, like when I went to the US last year, I came back with toys, and I gave some to my friend. Like, so it's a very good way to share more about Web3.
Yeah, I mean, you posted one tweet showing on the one hand there were a comment about DeFi and super long difficult explanations, and on the other hand there was Apache, and it was like, okay, this is how we get onboarded because it's so intuitive, right?
It's so cool. It's like my pinned tweet. I love this because yeah, for the longest time I was trying to share, because when you are in crypto and like you learn about stuff and you're like inventing the future of finance, and you want to share it. It's hard to just keep it to yourself, but at the same time it's so complex. Like every part of it takes a lot of explanation, and you can't even imagine. Like people usually, when you explain something, they want to represent it in their mind, and it's impossible. It's really impossible. Whereas the cute penguin JPEG, it's you don't need to explain more. It's like, oh, I want, like, oh, that's cool.
But Fifi, may I ask, in your Web2 life, have you been a developer, or did you acquire all these cool DeFi skills along the way?
No, I've never been I've always been like into computers, and I guess I was interacting with computers. I was like 5 years old. I started using internet years before my classmates, because my parents had it at home, and so I was always a bit techy, but I never really. It's like in my life, I get interested by a lot of things, so I don't specialize like 100% on one thing. So I never got into the developing side of it. At the same time, I really got into Web3. I was actually building my like starting my own business in coffee, which has nothing to do with even Web2. It uses Web2 to promote itself, but it's not even in the internet sense. It's not developing any tech. It's really about coffee, the product, the beans. And so yeah, I've been around tech, but just as a user and investor. And I guess, yeah, I love to try new things in this space. As you get to use products and talk with people, you get opportunities and you get airdrops. And you, I mean, it just it even if you're like an outsider at first, you get put at the center of it very fast. It's very inclusive in that sense, and that's how someone with no technical background like me ended up really being part of the space. And I guess it's a cool aspect of the space.
Yeah, most definitely. So basically you learned everything along the way and maybe self-taught or with communities or whatnot. Because I've seen like sometimes in the Discord, like I forgot all my DeFi knowledge, like the little bit I acquired, but you answer like all the questions. I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah, I guess it's self-taught, and I gotta give credit where it's due, like the Bankless podcast, and they created a DAO actually called the Bankless DAO. That's where I learned a lot from people who had more knowledge than me, and like it really gave me the skills to, let's say, master at least the user part of it. So it's yeah, it's been a journey. And yeah, in the NFT space, you have people who have not been, like, for you, it's more like you have done DeFi long ago and you haven't practiced since. But some people went into NFTs like as pure newbies, So yeah, I always try to help in the Discord because, it's people always, they are scared, to use this stuff because we have so many stories of people getting hacked or signing the wrong thing, and you can't always be secure about what you're doing. You're like you always have a doubt in your mind, which is a good thing. You're like, you have to keep it, but at the same time, if they ask questions, it's also a good thing because they can get answers, and I'm happy to help in that sense. Yeah.
Oh, Fifi. So coming now from DeFi to gaming, we spoke earlier in one of our endless chat groups, and you said you would like to mention a Nifty Island. So what can you say about this project, and is there any alpha the Apache community should know?
Yeah, I think the Nifty Island has been the alpha for a year now. I don't remember the exact date of like the beta launch, but I guess it was like January or February of this year. And so it's basically, it's a very, let's say, powerful game because in one sense it's something you can play alone, but it's also a multiplayer game. And in that sense, it opens up to the metaverse aspect of it. What I really liked about it was that they included the penguins, not just like come and play. It's like you could play your penguin in the game. They use the 3D models that Hologram Labs, which is another great team, made for us. And yeah, so this game is like basically when it's called Nifty Island because we all players have an island, so you can decorate it, you can build on it. It's a bit of mix of like, there were some NFT galleries back in the day, like on Cyber and things like that, where you could just, build everything, put your NFTs on the walls, or just be creative with it. And then you can also build games. So it can be races, for example. So you put a start and finish line and checkpoints, and people have to run through your island. But it can be like shooting games, can be capture the flag, things that people are used to with many like casual games, let's say, but also more competitive games. So it's really open, like everyone can have fun and find interest in it. So what they did was really play into the community. They in like as I said, they included the penguins, but they included many other NFT communities, and also meme coin communities, which is interesting. So if you have a certain meme coin in your wallet, they will let you play, let's say, the mascot of that meme coin as an avatar. And all communities usually will build their own island to meet. So it's like right now it's 20 players maximum, which seems very small, and it is. But with the development of the game, it will become hundreds. But the idea is you can just meet and chat, on an island that is branded to your project. And yeah, what they did for the, like, until last week actually, so it's old alpha, is they created this campaign called Play to Airdrop. You could basically play every day, gain points, like the old point system that we know and hate in all the DeFi protocols and stuff. But that's part of it. And if you held a Pudgy Penguin or several Pudgy Penguins, you were in very good tiers, which means that your points are very valuable. And that was really cool for us because, like, if you had just one penguin and a few leers, you were probably in the bronze tier, which meant that when you played, you basically made 10x more tokens, let's say, than the average player. So you could play just once a week and still you will get more tokens than the normal player. And if you played every day, you're just basically going to be a whale of Nifty Island. You know, it's like they were really generous with us. So it was a really good period to play that game. So as I said, it ended last week. We had a couple Pudgy related events. I have a special island called the Secret Igloo, really on the Pudgy theme. Every week I was hosting games. I called it Pudgy Hours. So it was really cool to just have a lot of players playing and, you know, share the Pudgy vibes with the Nifty community. Because as I said, you have like hundreds of different communities playing it. So, you know, spreading the Pengu vision to other people and making points, which was, yeah, basically the penguins who came to play like Pudgy Hours, they will make very good tokens. But that aside, now they are working on launching that token, so it's expected for December, and after that it will become a play to earn. So we don't know much yet, but I guess you will be able to earn tokens again. Like right now, between last week and I guess mid-December, it's a bit of like they are focusing on the tokenomics, you know, the economics of the game. And we know it's a very hard topic to tackle because, well, so many games economies are either too complex or too gameable. So they're trying to find the like the sustainable way to do it. And it's exciting. And yeah, it's so the alpha is just wait for the token. If you have played a bit, then you will get rewarded and good job.
I think I completely missed it. Oh my gosh. It is typically no alpha for the side. Okay, well, fair enough. Anyways, I think you're also actually, there's a new game, right? So I still might have the chance. This Pudgy Pop.
Yeah.
Is there any hope for me? Would you like to tell us more about Pudgy Pop? Because we happen to be in the same group. We are both in the yellow team.
Yes, let's go. Yeah, I was going to ask which team.
Let's go. And apparently, the cool thing is so because I got randomly assigned to your team and it's yellow and it's written. Yellow stands for clever, resourceful, and unpredictable. They always think outside of the ice box and play by their own rules. I think that's very fitting for me. So please,
let's go. I didn't even know this description. That's exactly us. Let's go.
Right. So this game? It's a community game of what is it?
So I don't know the full speech. All I know is they basically started like this race, like as a pre-game. You know, the game is expected for the beginning of 2025. And yeah, they did a big like 3-day event in Thailand with Pudgy Thailand actually. And you could, I don't know if you've seen the picture, but there were t-shirts of the teams. Like they were really excited. It was say, in French, we would say bon enfant competition. You know, it's like a friendly competition. And they invented at the last minute a green team, so that I really don't like because it was between blue, red, and yellow. And someone had the very good idea to say, oh, but abstract is green and we need abstract team. Therefore, like the green team out of nowhere just got all the attention. But I think the yellow people, like the yellow team, is the most base team. Like we have the talent, we may not have the number, you know, like the Spartans. But that's gonna be fun. And I think the game is really like a mobile, family-friendly game that's addictive. At least that's how it's presented. And we'll know more early next year. For now, it's like a good way to onboard people to the game, create an account, and have fun. And I think they just announced that they are partnering like for the Miami Art Basel event. So
Yeah,
maybe there
exactly.
will
I
be
saw
news
this.
over there. Yeah.
But are you going to Art Basel Miami
Yes,
or no?
I am,
Oh.
and we need to bring Berko. He's in the audience. I see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's worried about his flights, but he should come.
Oh gosh, please share lots of photos because I with my broken wrist I can't make it
Yeah, it's going to be
to
too
the
soon for
yeah.
you.
I know. I had the operation 2 days ago, the surgery. So I can't travel right now. I'm so annoyed. Oh. So I think there will be so much alpha. Please share it all on X.
Yeah, it will be a great day because you have the Vibes event and then the Pudgy and Pudgy Pop event. So a full day of pudginess. I'm excited for it.
Oh, Fifi, I'm very excited for you guys, but also, oh,
Are you
is
sure
it
you
up
cannot
yet?
come? Like, is there a way?
I can't because yeah, it took so long for the surgery thing to get through. So now I'm not allowed to do anything for like 3 weeks, which is really annoying. But yeah. But I was very fortunate because we met actually, I think, even in the bear market, right? We met in person in Paris.
Yes,
It was
NFT
pretty,
Paris.
yeah, the good old days. Oh my gosh. So because you are building Patchy Europe, can you share some of your experience with like meeting fellow Patchies and how much like did you only travel within Europe or like also beyond?
Yeah, I think Pudgy Europe came a bit as a surprise in my life. You know, it was like at some point there were things that were needed to be done, and I stepped up. And it's been a crazy experience, like hosting Pudgy events. It was easier in Paris. Like I did a first one was a dinner, and you know I was expecting, okay, we're gonna be like 10, 20 people. So I booked a big table at a restaurant, you know, simple. But then I realized there was so much demand that it would not do, you know. And it was very fast. Like in a few weeks, it transformed from like, oh, I booked two tables at the restaurant, into I privatized the restaurant, I hired a hostess and singer, I like made a decoration for the whole restaurant to look pudgy, you know. It became like a proper event out of nowhere in a way, and people were just buying the tickets because, you know, I was just, to simplify things, I was like, okay, let's just prepay the food, you know. It was, so it was not just like people getting like RSVP and, you know, no commitment. They were buying a ticket, so it had to be something epic. So also I was like, oh damn, I need to create a gift, a small memory for them. So I started making these mirrors, like one by one, because I was checking the penguins who were coming. So printing the penguin on a mirror, because it's like when you look in the mirror, you see yourself as your penguin, you know. And it was like with the Eiffel Tower on it. It was cute. I still have mine, and I hope the people who came still have theirs. And so that was the first really event that came out, like became something out of nowhere. And then Pudgy Europe became like something the space needed, as in like conferences were interested to have some Pudgy presence. So they were like, oh, what is Pudgy Europe? And that's how I got to speak in a few conferences. Like one of the best ones was the Web3, what's the name? like the Web3 Summit in Zurich, and that's where I met Bernasso, the legend, and a few other Swiss penguins. Since then, I've created Pudgy Swiss, and yeah, that conference was really, really crazy because we put together like a big booth with a lot of toys, like also the collectibles, and Captain Puru all paid for it, actually. Like, it was very like he's a French British who lives in Switzerland, so very cool penguin, and he really helped bring up together this booth, and yeah, so that was an incredible time. And yeah, I also went to speak at NFT NYC, just speak about basically community, like decentralized community building across continents, just sharing my experience. And yeah, looking forward like to seeing what Pudgy Europe is going to look in the future. Like, I'm really taking things easily, you know, because I have limited time, and at the same time, like, opportunities seem to come my way because people love the Pudgy, so they're like, oh, we should do something together. So we have something in the work with a French crypto bank. I'm not going to say more, but it's going to be fun.
Oh my gosh, Fifi, don't you say more.
No, I won't say more because, well, I can say get ready to use Overpass. And yeah, I won't say more.
But Fifi, I think like in France and also in Switzerland, I feel there are so many, or there's a strong crypto or Web3 community, whereas I feel in the UK it's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit of a desert, right?
Yeah, I was gonna ask what is Pudgy London doing, you know?
I have no clue. I have not met one Pudgy in London yet somehow. I don't know. Maybe, you know, when I go to Paris, I meet like the Pudgy London guys, if there are some. I meet them in Paris, but I don't know. I feel, yeah, I think France is so much more advanced when it comes to all things crypto and Web3. Like, I think in 2022, I met the director of the Centre Pompidou, Laurent Lebon. And, you know, I was like, I spoke with him because I knew him from other stuff. And I was like, oh, do you know Pudgy Penguins? You know, I can't believe I asked him this, but I was so excited. And he was like, yeah, of course I know. Like, I mean, which director of like a major museum would know? Like, back then, this was so cool. And in the UK, I don't think I would have gotten this this reaction. So yeah, I'm very upset. Here, the space is not as cool as in France.
Yeah, I think we're pretty lucky. We got some cool conferences like ECC, and yeah, NFT Paris is really getting big. Like, I think we're in a good spot, and we have this crypto culture. I was a bit frustrated, like, at the beginning, let's say Pudgy Penguins were not really famous in the Web3 French space. But yeah, since like last year, and I mean, now the French community is very big around abstract. So now French is good, you know. But yeah, we have also like a French huddle group chat in which you are in, and you can see we're like 50 people now. It's really cool. And you know, some of the holders, they don't speak English very well, so it's important that we have like a French-speaking part of it. And in the past, it didn't come up, but now it's really a thing. So, bullish on France.
Yeah, yeah, I love our French group chats. It's very entertaining, you guys. It's really cool. And I actually don't think there's like a group chat for people based in the UK. I think we're just stuck somewhere. But it is what it is. But yeah, Fifi. So you're going to Art Basel Miami?
Yes, 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 yes.
But as a speaker? Also,
no, just for the vibes. I went there last year. It was like my first big penguin event, and it was amazing. So I have to go back, you know. And also last year, like there were a couple events, and I also got to go to the office, you know, like the Penguins HQ. So that was really good memories. And yeah, that's why I'm going back. It was too good last year not to go back.
Yeah, so the crazy thing is, Fifi, I saw you building because, like, I was not really active during the bear market and all things crypto. Like, I found it very depressing, and it was my first bear market. I had no clue it can be so brutal. But I saw you during the bear building the whole time. Like, you went or like you went from one place to the other, and you were involved in so many projects. So how did you keep up with the bear market vibes? How did you survive?
It's really, I mean, because it's not my first one, I'm like the vibes are still good, and you know, where I have conviction, I'm good, you know. So yeah, I didn't live bad times at all during this last bear. I guess it's just experience. So like next bear, you will feel happy, or at least you won't be depressed by the whole. And I think one thing important is not to take Twitter too seriously, because like you know the vibes on Twitter can go from euphoria to like massive depression in a second. And I guess going to these events was a way for me to like connect outside of crypto, outside of Twitter, with people, and really like see the people building and see the people who stayed, you know. And it was very encouraging. Like you could see the potential. Whereas if you don't go to the events, maybe it all stays virtual on Twitter, and you can lose hope because you lose touch with reality, you know. I guess in a way it was both like a normal and maybe one of the most positive things of the bear market, like the RL events.
Oh, that is so very nice. Yeah, so another question I wanted to ask you, because even like back in the old days, like even during the old Pudgy Penguin team, like in the very early Pudgy days, you did a really, really cool initiative in the pre-Christmas period, which was the Pudgy Advent Calendar. And I think you even did run it for 2 years, and you had everybody, including me, sing or leave an inspiring quote. And I wanted to ask if you will bring it back by any chance.
Yeah, so this was like the first one I did was around the eggs, you know, because before they were rugs, if you can believe it, they were eggs. So it was like, you know, the advent calendar until the eggs opening, and it was really cool. And I think you did two songs that year, which was really cool. Basically the idea was like every day one penguin wants to do some, you know, it could be a song, but it could be just a drawing. It could be just even a quote. I could share it, and I would make it like a window of the advent calendar. The second year, I've kept doing them. So the second year, I think it was about like the rugs after the eggs, the rugs. You know, it was like okay, you know, at that time everybody hated on rugs, so it was like let's make a calendar every day. You share what you like about the rugs, and that was the Rock Sember calendar. And last year it was about Pudgy World, yeah, because it was supposed to come out like end of the month, so which unfortunately didn't happen. But it was like what do you hope happens in Pudgy World, so that was the topic of the calendar. So I guess this year what's supposed to come out is abstract. So I'm thinking every day I'm gonna invite penguins to share what they hope and want for abstract, which I think is going to be a doubly important, because I at least that's my feeling right now. I feel like some penguins are not really aware of what is going on with abstract, and maybe the abstract team is like wondering why penguins are not all pushing crazy abstract. So maybe this advent calendar can reunite a bit the penguins with abstract in a very simple and creative way. So if you want to sing something about abstract, you can start practicing.
Obviously, I can't even sing. Obviously, this was so embarrassing. I did it only like to have the patches back in the OT days,
Can be
so I
just
can't
it can
even
be just
sing
a
it.
quote,
It
don't
was so
worry, don't
embarrassing.
worry.
Okay. Yeah, but this is a good way. Like, I wanted to ask because you are also building in the abstract ecosystem. So can you share more on all things abstract and why it's important for patches and why we should all support it?
Yeah, I think the way it came to many was a bit weird because, like, why would we go build a layer two as the penguins? But I think it's the opposite. It's like it was meant to be. If you look at the penguins community, like, there are so many builders who build crazy good apps or like infrastructure for blockchain, and it's very like dispersed. It makes sense that we all unite on a chain. You know, we have all these talented people and these apps that exist on whatever chain you want, and why not reunite them on abstract? At the same time, the team has been building products, Web3 products. Like, I know some people don't realize it, but Overpass IP and Pudgy World are built on blockchain, and the fact that basically these products will bring a lot of people, especially Pudgy World, and that we would have to basically do it on Polygon, ZK Sync, whatever, is a big loss for the Penguins, because like the block space is very important, and if we are to bring the attention and basically the money to a chain, it should give it back to us, and there is no way except doing your own chain, you know. So the community is a team. There is a big incentive to have a chain, and the way it's getting like thought out by the team, and I mean the way Luca describes the vision is very interesting, because it's not just doing a chain for the penguins by the penguins, but it's doing it like a layer two that is different, that is not like general purpose, like all these chains which want to do everything, you know. They want to have DeFi, they want to have NFTs. Like, if you look at the Blast or Ape Chain, they're all like trying to fight so many things at the same time, and they just copy Ethereum layer one in a way, you know. They don't make the most of being a layer two and specialize in a. And also, yeah, they don't fight the user experience that we all hate, at least that the normal people hate. And so the way it's not just a layer two, but also like focused on consumer crypto with like the easiest onboarding, like a wallet that is a smart wallet, actually, is just like a very promising tech in a way. And the fact that we have all the builders, the culture is just a plus to it, and it's the future of penguins in a way. Like, it makes a lot of sense, and I don't know if you've noticed, but they are using a green penguin more and more about abstract to really show it. I think there is a bit of a hesitation here, because abstract needs to be open to everyone. You know, we don't want the people to think, oh, it's a penguin chain, so if you're not if you don't own a penguin, you shouldn't get interested. So that's why it's abstract, and that's why the communication is, let's say, open just to the whole space. But at the same time, the DNA and the strength of the Pudgy Penguins will bring it to new highs. So it's not a penguin chain, but it's penguin powered chain, you know. It's what gives it a lot of strength. And it's gonna be wild. I think we have trouble imagining, because first of all those L2s right now, they have very little usage, because the normies, I mean, the new users are not there yet. And when you have more and more users, and you have the simplest tech for them with Abstract, it can really become all of a sudden like the biggest chain in that sense. That people speak of and interact with, especially with Pudgy World, the Vibes TCG digital game, the Plushie Island, like things like which will be really fun to play, not just crypto, Ponzi and casino, so it could very well just power a very big like wave of adoption for crypto.
Yeah, most definitely. I think it's a really, really smart move, and I'm very excited about it. And especially now, with the different outlook in the US, I think it will be easier to scale and to onboard and to do something in the space. So I think it's definitely a very smart move. And yeah, with this, I wanted to ask you, Fifi, what is your outlook with all things Web3 for the next like 6 months? Are you bullish?
I'm ultra bullish, it's funny that you ask, because if you asked me 1 month ago, I would have sounded completely crazy. The vibes were like very choppy, it was like some days they were happy, but some days they were depressed. And right now it's easy to say we're ultra bullish. We just see all time highs on Bitcoin and stuff, so. But I would have been ultra bullish 1 month ago, so that's just to say that I would have had the same answer, and it just makes a lot of sense when you look. And I guess the political context is like right now people are like, oh, it's gonna help innovation finally work, but it's also because there were so many frustrations, not just on this topic, but in part in the US on this topic. Like if you look at the number of US citizens who hold crypto and were frustrated, like they were starting to organize themselves, and there were websites where you could like see every candidate if they were pro crypto, anti crypto. Like they really organized it. Like in France, we don't talk about it. Like in comparison, it's a non-subject, and the French crypto people, they would never like take it into account for the election. Whereas in the US, there was so much frustration that they just like all the people, undecided people, they voted for Trump for that. And yeah, so it was just a ticking time bomb. Everybody wanted it, and now it's coming. So very good.
Yay. And so is there anything you can say, like any more alpha you can share, or anything, any recommendation, like in what, like any projects we should look into, or what would be like your kind of last words to sum it up?
Yeah, it's always hard to guess, like if you've been long enough, that the next big thing can be something we haven't even talked about, and that's why it becomes so big so fast. Like, 'cause yeah, like if you think about it, gaming has to be a super big thing because Web3 brings ownership to the assets and like a feeling of belonging and sharing the economy of the game. So of course I'm super bullish, but maybe it's not going to be that, it's the same, like you could expect that real world assets, like with more and more institutions coming on chain, could be massive, but at the same time, who knows? So I want to stay very humble on it. And yeah, the things I'm excited about, of course, gaming, NFTs, I mean, not in a NFT 2021 way, but basically the penguins, what the penguins are doing, and I'm sure they're gonna, like bring not a trend, but like something, a model that makes sense for the world. Yeah, DeFi for me has always been like, there was a time when the people said, "Oh, DeFi 2.0 will come." I'm not sure how it's gonna look like, but it makes so much sense that DeFi explodes. I guess right now it would be dumb to say that meme coins won't be a big thing because they are so huge already. I've never been myself like a meme coin guy, but it's really impressive and funny to see how it's onboarding so many people. Maybe it's not for the best use case or like the one that looks the most legit to the outside world, but it's something. Like bringing people on chain is what matters. So I really like what Base are doing. I'm really looking forward to abstract. And yeah, about abstract, if I have to give some alpha, is a study the panoramic governance, which basically shows that it's not going to be like the abstract token is not going to be just another L2 token, like pointless token. It's going to be very, very important and very beneficial to the ecosystem. So not only do you need to learn about abstract, but get ready to invest in it. Just saying. Yeah, hopefully there will be something I don't even know. And you know, I like to be surprised. And like, if there is a new subsector of Web3 that comes up, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and do you have any would you like to say, because I know you're so bullish on rocks, so would you like to end this spaces with like a comment on rocks, because
Yes.
you've been like, yes. So please, the floor is yours.
I'm so glad you asked. I mean, the rocks, it's like the longest adventure, I guess. So memorable because that's what got penguins where we are right now. You know, it's not the penguins were was cute and everybody loved it, but if the rocks didn't happen, we would still be with the founding team and, you know, being one of the many projects that died out of, let's say, death of excitement. And the rugs, they were terrible when they happened, but looking back, there was a blessing. And now it's like this meme coin like moment, bringing more memes to life. And I think the rugs is maybe the only like NFT native meme, you know, something that is really funny, really crazy that, you know, happen in this NFT space. And like, that's the core of the rugs. And I think maybe we have a, like, as a rug community, we have a trouble communicating it outside of the penguins, because I mean, of course we want every penguin to have their rug. And I mean, to me, like, as an OG, when I see a like a pudgy holder, like big or little, doesn't matter, get the first rug, it's like I'm so proud, you know. It's like a rite of passage. And I know that when they get their rug, it's like they understand the culture. They pass this rite of passage, and they know who we are. Then they're not tourists anymore, if I can say that. But I think everyone in the space should love the rugs, you know, outside of the penguins. So that's maybe something to explore. And yeah, I see the utility of the rugs as like the cherry on the cake. It's like the penguins, you can get the royalty, you can get the licensing deal. With the rugs, you can get the multiplier. So it's probably like for the royalties, but for the tokens and stuff. So it's an exciting part, but it shouldn't be the main focus. And I think that's also something to work on. But yeah, to me, like, they are the most epic NFT there is. Like, it's just too beautiful, a true story, and something that if you've lived it, nothing can top it. You know, it's like the impossible to replicate and thing you go through. It's like getting rugged, but then being like taking it over and changing the narrative. And like, I think every time the rugs flip one of the collections that, like, because at the time it was very PvP and a lot of other collection. You mentioned Cool Cats earlier, but well, I don't want to name names, but all that to say that when the rugs flip these collections, it's just so much fun that, like, not in a revenge, like, bitter way. It's more like in a crazy celebration that shows that anything can happen, and that what seems the most stupid can become great and a jewel. So yeah, rugs.
Okay, perfect, Fifi. So this is the perfect ending, all things rocks. And definitely an epic moment in NFT history. And we are very looking forward to writing new history now with Abstract and Patches and everything to come. So thank you so much for your time and for joining us today. And thank you so much also for our listeners. And I think there will be now a lot of waiting rooms. I have not refreshed my browser if we hit 100K Bitcoin yet or not, but I'm sure there will be an endless waiting room over the weekend. So very excited. And yeah, I see you guys all in the next huddle. Thank you so much.